The Haines School Board appoints a new member, and a spooky essay about Halloween on the Chilkoot. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedneller. Those stories and more up next. The Haines School Board on Tuesday swore in two new members, appointed a third, and chose new board officers. Sarah Chapel and Royal Henderson were sworn in as the two newly elected members of the board. Brenda Jones was also sworn in after retaining her seat in the recent election. No one ran for the fourth open seat, so it was up to the six members to appoint someone. Five people expressed their interest in the seat and were interviewed by the board on Tuesday evening. Dr. Julie Hines, J.R. Myers, Barbara Mulford, Jason Schull, and Artie Miller. The five were individually asked the same 10 questions by the board during the public meeting. Afterward, Superintendent Michael Beyer then told the board they could choose to remain in public session or convene in executive session to discuss the interviewees. Three board members voted against an executive session: Anne-Marie Palmieri, Sarah Chapel, and Royal Henderson. That tied the vote, so the board opened it up for discussion. Palmieri said she believed the discussion should remain in public meeting. Just like an election, the candidates' merits should be discussed openly, she said. Chapel concurred. Board member Brian Clay said it was a personnel matter and likened it to discussing hiring a teacher and said it should be done in executive session. Chapel asked for a reconsideration of the vote, and in a second vote, the board approved an executive session by a vote of 5-1, with Palmieri still objecting. The Alaska Open Public Meetings Act does not specifically say personnel matters can be discussed in executive session. It states that subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, can be held in an executive session. It was under this section that the board moved and voted to convene an executive session. Superintendent Beyer said he had contacted the five applicants prior to the meeting to ask if they had any objection to being discussed in executive session, and he said none of them did. Last year, when the school board appointed a member to an open seat, they did so in a public meeting, but through a secret ballot. On Tuesday evening, after nearly 90 minutes in executive session, the board returned to the public meeting. The board voted unanimously to appoint Artie Miller to the seat, and she was sworn in. Miller has a long career in education. Most recently, she served as Dean of Instruction at College of the Rockies in British Columbia. She's also worked as an education administrator and specialist with the Alaska Department of Education, a director of human resources for the Juneau School District, curriculum coordinator at the Yukon Department of Education in Whitehorse, an instructor of education at the university level, and a teacher and principal at a rural Canadian school. She holds a Master of Education from Eastern Washington University and a Doctor of Philosophy from University of Victoria. She has two grown children and has lived in Haines for 2 years and says she has had ties to the community for the last 15 years. She said Tuesday she believes the role of the school board is to build a bridge between the school and community.
And I hope that the board will be richer by having me on it, you know, bringing the experiences and the views that I have. And I just really hope to help continue to keep that bridge between the school and the community strong. I think that's what the board does.
After Miller was sworn in on the board, new officers were chosen. Almost simultaneously, Sarah Swinton nominated Brenda Jones, and Sarah Chapel nominated Anne-Marie Palmieri for chairperson. There was some confusion, but Beyer said each nomination needed to be taken one at a time. The board then voted to approve Jones as chair, and it passed by a vote of 4-3. Jones previously served as secretary-treasurer. Brian Clay nominated Swinton for vice chair. The board unanimously approved that choice. Clay then nominated himself for secretary-treasurer. Swinton also tried to nominate Miller for the position, but Beyer again said the nominations needed to be taken one at a time. The board approved the appointment of Clay by a vote of 5-2. The next regular school board meeting is Wednesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. A new report claims there are significant barriers in front of Native voters in six states, including Alaska, this year. Mike Mason has this story.
The report is titled Voter ID Laws and the Native Vote, States of Concern. It comes from the National Congress of American Indians. The report claims that existing voter ID laws or those being considered in several states, including Alaska, Florida, Michigan, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin, put up barriers to Native people casting ballots. The issue of getting out the Native vote was brought up at the recent Alaska Federation of Natives convention in Anchorage by Jackie Johnson-Peta, She's the executive director of the National Congress of American Indians.
If you want to influence politicians in Washington, D.C., if you want to be able to make your voice heard about the issues you care about and were so passionate about for the last 2 days, you need to be able to gather your family, your community in its entirety, and make sure that every possible person who can vote turns up at the polls.
In an effort to get out the vote, the National Congress of American Indians created the Native Vote Campaign that also tries to get more leaders to run for local, state, and federal office. Johnson Peta says it's important to get out the Native vote on a consistent basis.
We have to be able to make sure we're not only there when we were champions behind Senator Murkowski and making her get reelected, but that we continue to keep the pressure on. I will join with you and support you from National Congress American Indians as we do the Native Vote effort across the country to do what we can be able to do to help you organize and to achieve that goal. But I wanted to be able to make sure that that was really what you do first. Because somebody asked me yesterday, they said, what can I do? If I go home to my tribal council, can you write down a list of the things that I should tell them that we need to do? And that's the first thing that you need to do.
The new report finds that 11 states have passed new voter ID laws that could disproportionately affect Native voters. Some of those states will require a photo ID to vote in the upcoming general election. The report finds that two states, Alaska and Florida, don't accept tribal ID cards. The authors of the new report are calling for a review of voter ID laws to ensure that they adequately acknowledge the role of tribal governments and recognize IDs issued by federally recognized tribal governments as valid identification. You can find the new report online at nativevote.org. Election Day is coming up on November 6th. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
Closer to home, there were several Native Get Out the Vote efforts this year. Southeast Regional Native Corporation, Sea Alaska, is working as part of a coalition of Native organizations, including Tlingit and Haida Central Council and Tlingit and Haida Regional Housing Authority, to get members registered to vote and mobilized to the polls. According to Vice President and Corporate Secretary Nicole Hollingstad, Sea Alaska has had good success with in-community registration events. Sea Alaska is also trying a pilot program in Heidelberg to see if people displaying Native vote signs will boost overall turnout. Hollingstad said the corporation is encouraging early voting and offering rides to the polls in some communities. She said according to a comparison of information from the Division of Elections and Native Corporation shareholder rolls, there has been an increase of nearly 500 registered Alaska shareholders from August's primary to the October 7th deadline. Today we have our special spooky edition of our essay feature, Small Things Considered. Here's Haynes writer Rosalie Lowen on Halloween on the Chilkoot.
It's Halloween on the Chilkoot, and there are zombies at the river. The mist creeps up off the water and hides the corpses, but the stink of them still rises up to meet me. The gulls are circling and screaming overhead, a soundtrack for a horror show. They land to peck at the dead. They eat the eyes first. They have grown fat from this morbid feasting, and when they turn their heads to look at me and hop closer, my heartbeat is suddenly loud in my ears. I am at the point of turning back when I sense movement in the shadowy woods behind me. I can almost make out the silhouette of a gigantic, hairy beast lurking beneath the trees. The dim sunshine percolates through branches and glints off something that makes me think of razor-sharp claws, each longer than my fingers. At that moment, a raven flies up suddenly from a branch, making a strange call that sounds almost like words. Is it a warning? It is perhaps best not to turn back. I drag my boat to the water while bones slip and crack beneath my boots. Casting off from shore, my keel grazes the bodies of the nearly dead, half floating, half swimming. These zombies stare up through the water at me, and their eyes, if they still have eyes, are an eerie, bloody red. Some have only empty sockets. The birds have been too eager. When I row, my oars thud into half-rotten bodies and jar loose bits of flesh. Not far from shore, I sense that something is watching me. Something not human. I turn to look over my shoulder and catch a glimpse of a ghostly gray form with preternaturally large eyes slipping back into the dark waters, close enough so that silver rings lap at the side of my boat. It's only a seal, I tell myself, only a seal. But I row a little faster to the deeper shoals where my crab pot waits and the wheeling, crying birds circle lower around my boat. Trick or treat, come on out to the Chilkoot if you dare.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Mike Mason and Rosalie Lowen for their help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.